What's up, everybody? This is episode 40 of the Clappercast. We are on February 10th, 2020, 2 weeks from the trade deadline. I'm Burke.
And I'm Sean.
We're 2 weeks away, but teams are making some early moves here, Sean. So last episode, we were talking about how the Leafs might have to make a move about Freddie Anderson if he was out. And they did it immediately after that episode was dropped.
Basically, so what, were the Leafs played a game like the next day, and then within an hour of the game ending, they lost the game, by the way, because Hutchinson let up a few really weird goals. within like an hour of the game ending, they traded with Los Angeles. So they traded Trevor Moore, a 2020 third round pick, and a 2021 conditional third in exchange for Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford with 50% retained salary. So the condition on that 2021 third is that it upgrades to a second if either Clifford re-signs with Toronto or if the Leafs make the playoffs in the 2019-20 playoffs and Jack Campbell wins six regular season games.
Which is
so that's
likely.
Very likely going to be a second in 2021 as well, which seems like a lot now.
Yeah, so what do you think about the trade?
Overall, I think it's a decent one. I think the Kings got important pieces for them. They're in a rebuilding stage right now, so obviously these draft picks are going to be huge for them. They aren't the most ideal ones, like they're not likely to turn into great things, but the more prospects you have in your system, the better at this time. Then Toronto gets exactly what they need in two ways. Actually, they get the goalie that they've hoped will be able to actually be a reliable backup. Jack Campbell was excellent in 2018-19 with Los Angeles. He kind of took over when Jonathan Quick was out and led them to being way better on the ice than they should have been. And even though he's had a rough season this year, you know, the Kings, once again, aren't a very good team. So maybe a chance to go on to a better team will be a good restart for Campbell. Then with Kyle Clifford, I mean, over the last couple of years, they've lost so much in terms of grit and physicality with like Matt Martin, Leo Komarov, and Nazem Kadri last offseason. So they get some of that back now with Kyle Clifford. They seem to realize like, hey, we need some of this on the team. So here's a little bit more.
Yeah, and LA's got Cal Peterson coming up. So I think they've got a solid prospect goalie there. So giving up Jack Campbell at this point kind of makes sense.
Totally.
And they've got Quick on the books for a number of years, so they were able to flip Campbell for something. And I agree with you. For the Leafs, it's a great trade. I mean, they obviously needed a goalie. Everybody kind of thought they were going after Georgiev pretty hard, but I don't know if there is actually any merit to that rumor. But
if what Kyle Dubas said is to be believed, this trade has actually been something they've been working on for a few weeks prior to it. It's just that the talks really accelerated as soon as Anderson got injured and like threw that game basically to the point that it got completed really, really quick.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's kind of interesting that it was nobody really pieced that trade together before it happened. Like everybody was thinking Georgiev or, you know, some random miracle trade for like Leonard or something crazy. But I think it makes sense. I think both teams kind of got something out of it that they need.
Definitely.
You know, the Leafs. First game with Campbell, I don't think went that great for them. I think they lost yesterday, right? And the day before. I apologize. I kind of have been out of it today. You know, they obviously needed somebody to step in. And with Freddie looking like he'll be out for a little bit longer, it's definitely a grit move. And the grit that Kyle Clifford adds, you know, former teammate of Muzzin, I think that's going to be huge for that team as well. And there was another big trade that just happened about
this
25 minutes ago.
Yeah, half hour ago, basically.
The stove is hot.
A pretty significant one. So the Minnesota Wild acquired Alex Galchenyuk, Kalen Addison, and a conditional 2020 first-round pick from Pittsburgh Penguins for Jason Zucker. Now, the condition on that 2020 first-round pick is that if Pittsburgh misses the 2019-20 playoffs, the team... Pittsburgh has the option to send their 2021 first round pick instead. So they're just, you know, kind of protecting that first round pick a little bit because they realize like
the Metro's a hot race.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a comfortable position in the playoffs so far this year, but they want to protect it just in case things go south very quickly.
So my thoughts on this is that it seems like a lot for Jason Zucker. I don't know if you agree.
I do. I think Minnesota got an excellent package out of this,
Yeah.
honestly.
I mean, I think Zucker's got like 14 goals and 15 assists. Just checking how many games he's played. 45 games played with 29 points. I know Minnesota's not amazing and he has missed a little bit of time, but that seems like a lot to give up for a guy that's on pace for like, I don't know, what, 45 points?
So the thing with Jason Zucker too is that he's always been more of a team guy. Like he's actually a pretty physically engaged, gritty forward to go along with his decent. I mean, he's a respectable second line forward basically in terms of his production, but he also provides a lot of like grit, strength, physicality, and that type of play style that doesn't really get tracked directly in those ones. And he's also spent how long with the not very offensive Minnesota Wild?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, if you take a quick peek at the Penguins' current line combinations right now, you can see why they went after him because Galchenyuk never really found his spot in the lineup. I mean, there was that quote from Jim Rutherford where he was saying like, or not Jim Rutherford. Wait, what the fuck? I'm so out of it. Yeah, Jim Rutherford. Sorry. Where he was saying that he might not even have a spot in the top 12 at one point.
Yeah, and that was like within a month or two of him
Yeah.
debuting in the lineup, basically.
If you look at their top six right now on the wings, you've got Dominic Simone, Patrick Hornqvist, Jared McCann, who's a center, and Brian Rust.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of third line wingers, I want to say. They're guys who have found a good spot in Pittsburgh's lineup. They produce higher than they probably would anywhere else, but that's not exactly, I mean, Zucker's probably going to go in there and immediately be playing on the first line, to be honest.
Crosby plays with so many weird guys that you have no idea how it's going to turn out. It could be like unreal or it could be just not. But I
Exactly. And
think
I mean, if
it's.
it doesn't work out with Zucker, he just goes and plays, or with Crosby, goes and plays with Malkin instead,
Yeah,
basically.
double threat. They're second first line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh won a cup with like no defense. So anything's possible.
I mean, look
But
how
I.
they're doing this year with the amount of injuries and random call-ups they've had to use for long portions of the season.
Yeah.
And they're sitting comfortably in second in the Metro right now.
Yeah, I still think it's a lot to give up for a, second
Yeah,
line
so on
forward.
that note too, let's flip this and look at how this works out for Minnesota. So I think this trade is pretty significant in that it pretty much officially kickstarts the Wild's rebuild. That they're finally making that trade. I mean, Zucker was like an identity piece of that team for the last 6 seasons. And for them to give him up as a trade deadline rental, to me, signals that the team is fully committed to their rebuild. And that is going to be the direction of the team over the next 3 years. That is going to be just full of overhaul, full of moving and retooling. And I mean, the key pieces of this trade is going to be that first round pick.
Absolutely.
Like that's what they need the most. And getting a defenseman like Kalen Addison, he's a point per game in the WHL, and he was a huge part of Canada's World Junior team in 2020 at the 2020 World Junior Classic. So those are two important pieces for their rebuild, getting a defenseman that's a couple years into his development, and getting two prospect pieces on a team that has zero, well, maybe like one good prospect in
Yeah.
Kaprizov, who's over in Russia right now. Galchenyuk, honestly, he's a throw-in. He's a throw-in. He's
Yeah.
probably like it's probably like taking cap space basically for the Penguins so they can actually do something.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when you saw like on Instagram all of the like the TSN and Sportsnet images for the trade. It has like Zucker on one side and has Galchenyuk on the other. It's like they should have just had a number one like first round pick on the other side instead of Galchenyuk
Gary
because
Bettman standing in front of the draft board.
yeah, Galchenyuk's just hasn't
He's a reclamation
found his
project.
place in any team, really. I mean, he's got 17 points on the Pens this year in 45 games.
For a guy who's as talented as he has been and was, that's like he's still got to work on a little bit.
Yeah, and this is going to be his third team in as many years. I think Minnesota's kind of taking on some of these guys, these random guys in deals so they can get more picks. I
Oh
think
sure,
that's definitely going to be smart
why
for them to
not?
continue
It's
doing.
the John Chayka way, just take on random contracts and players and gain extra picks and prospects out of it. Like, it's a better way to treat cap space as an asset if you have an owner who's willing to get on board with that.
Yeah, is this Bill Guerin's like first real move?
I think so.
How would
I
you
don't
rate it?
recall them making a big one. I think that's a great start. It's
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it kickstarts the new era. It's basically saying like he's here to play. He's going to make the moves that need to be made, and he's not going to get completely fleeced while doing so.
Yeah, I think it's an A plus. It's a step in the right direction, and like you said, Kalen Addison is definitely going to be an important piece of this. You watched him in the World Juniors. He was kind of like the point man on Team Canada's power play. He was
Yeah, and
pretty
he's got a great
important in
offensive
that.
mind, so that's an important defensive piece to have a good one of.
Yeah, he had
A
9
guy who's
points in
gonna
that tournament
exactly.
in 7 games. So, I mean, he's no slouch. So I think picking up
No.
somebody so they can grow their prospect pool is definitely the right thing to do for them.
Yeah,
And I
and
think it's
I'm pretty
definitely
sure he's
huge.
immediately their second or third best prospect.
Oh, probably.
So like I said, they've got Kirill Kaprizov, and I believe it's Liam Foodie is another good one. No, he's Columbus. They've got one other guy. I can't remember his name at the top of my head.
Yeah, so like I said in the intro, 2 weeks today from the trade deadline, so I think these moves are definitely going to ramp up a bit. It's interesting to see who acts early and who waits.
Yes. That's kind of the thing we've been seeing over the last few years, hasn't it? That all of the trade deadline trades are happening in like the week or two leading up to it.
Get a little bit more time with the new player.
Yeah, and I mean that's huge. I think that the team they're going to, like, you don't want these trades, like these guys to come in, play like 5 games, and then they've got all these important games coming up that they still haven't built that chemistry. You know, you're trading for the piece, you might as well get as much as you can out of them.
Yeah. Just curious here, do you know if Zucker's pending UFA?
No, he's actually only 2 years into a 5-year contract.
Yeah, he's signed until the end of the 2022-23 season.
So that's actually going to be a useful piece for Pittsburgh too, to help prolong their cup window somehow even more.
28-year-old signed to 3 more seasons after this. It's not too bad.
And that's actually
He's
a
new.
reasonable contract for what he provides as well, especially considering the type of deals that were handed out last summer.
Well, props to the Wild. I think that's a good move for them. I think it's an okay move for Pittsburgh. Maybe let's move on to the injury front. There's a
Yes.
couple D-men that have been hurt lately. So the one that came out today was that Seth Jones of Columbus. He's the next in line to get hurt on that team, and I think this is probably going to be their biggest injury yet,
By far.
in terms of importance to the team.
He's probably their best player, to be honest. So
Yeah.
to lose him for indefinitely, as it's already predicted, is going to be massive, especially they are in the middle of like a huge hot streak and playoff push, and they are going to miss every second of Seth Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he plays like what, like 25 minutes a night or something.
Easily.
It's going to be a huge loss. And I don't know if they really got the depth to accommodate that. I know they've got Zach Werenski's lighting it up offensively, but I don't know if anyone can really step in there.
They definitely do not have that on paper. What they do have, like, this is what I noticed going into the season, writing their Columbus's previews, that they actually have a decent defensive core. That is one of their strengths right now. So they don't have on paper the star power that's going to replace Seth Jones, but they do have just defensive solid solidity that they're probably going to be okay giving a few more minutes to a couple of guys a night to cover that to cover the loss. It's not going to be as good, but it's probably, given how the team is playing right now, something they rally around and can probably cover reasonably well,
Yeah, because they've
especially
already
with how hot
got.
their goalie's playing.
Yeah, that's on my list here too. They've already got Dean Kukan and Ryan Murray, of course, are both hurt. So, losing Jones is tough.
Big time.
Yeah, also for Columbus, Cam Atkinson, I think he's missing tonight's game. And they've still
Yes, he
got
got
Josh
re-hurt, or
Anderson.
again, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
Yeah, so
sure.
they're
So,
missing all their best forwards too,
Josh
like the three
Anderson,
guys.
Dubinsky's hurt. Alexander Wenberg is hurt.
Jonas Corposalo.
I think he's coming back, but you kind of alluded to it a little bit. Their goaltender, Elvis Merzlikins,
Yeah.
is just hot, hot, hot. So I don't even know if Korpisalo would get that many starts when he comes back, because
Yeah, he's probably lost the starter role to this point.
Elvis is making a huge case for the Calder for himself.
He won't win because he hasn't played enough games, but holy crap, is he building like a nice highlight reel early on, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got five shutouts. So that's pretty wild.
And what? How many starts does he have? Like 10?
He's played in 25. I'm not sure if the how many of those are starts.
Okay.
But yeah. And then Mark Giordano of Calgary. He took a weird shot, like he one-timed a shot and his ankle went a weird direction, and he's been out for Calgary. So he's, a huge part of that team. So losing him is definitely hurt them.
They're doing pretty struggly in the last 10 games here. They're sitting 4-5-1. They've kind of fallen down to the third wild or to the second wild card spot, pardon me. And they're 1 point ahead of Arizona for losing that spot. So that's going to be a huge loss to have your captain and best defenseman gone for any amount of time at this point. Same
Yeah.
situation as Columbus, basically.
Hamonic, he left their last game too, so I'm not sure if he's hurt or not, but I know I
We'll
was
have to wait
watching
and
their
see on
last
that
game
one.
and he had to leave the game and didn't come back, so that'd be rough to lose, 2-6, but that's kind of the point of the
Oh,
year that we're in.
Hamilton or Hamilton. Hamonic is going on IR, so
Ouch.
he's out for a week at least.
That's rough.
So that's going to be hard for them. I don't think they quite have the defensive depth as Columbus does. They're going to have I think they're going to be looking really, really hard on Rasmus Anderson to step up yet again
Yeah, I think
in
he's
these
got the
absences.
potential, but
He does.
the pressure's on now.
Big time.
Speaking of Alberta Team D-men, one was recently signed, so I'll let you speak about that.
Yeah, so the Oilers talks between him, between the team and Darnell Nurse heated up big time yesterday and today. So it was officially announced that he has re-signed for 2 years at $5.6 million per year. So basically, what this is, the 2 years takes him to his first UFA season, and the team basically gave him a good faith deal that he's going to take a shorter term and a lower cap hit now, with the intention of negotiating a longer term, higher cap hit deal in 2 years, once the Oilers have some of their cap troubles from Chiarelli off the books. So by that point, they're going to have guys like Chris Russell and a couple of buyouts out that'll free up the 2 or 3 million that Nurse is probably going to be asking for at that point.
Yeah, he would be brought into UFA by this deal as well.
Yes.
So definitely he'll be looking to cash in at that point. And yeah, I mean it
So
seems like an
in
okay
terms
deal.
of Yeah, it's an okay deal. It's not I'm glad that it's not the 6 or 7 that everyone was projecting or predicting, and I'm glad it's not the 8 that Nurse was asking for.
Yeah, that's
So
kind of
to be
ridiculous.
completely honest, he is not a great defenseman. He doesn't I've been waiting over these last 2 seasons for him to develop the defensive IQ and just aptitude around playing the position. But he still hasn't completely figured it out. And he is very, very prone to making massive mistakes with the puck. Like he regularly has twice as many recorded giveaways as takeaways. He's constantly losing the puck. One play in particular, even though he is a defenseman who is not afraid to jump up in the rush, his only play offensively is a random slap shot from the point, or like he did a couple of games ago, where he skated into the zone, cut into the slot, and then he was at like the hash marks basically. And then he turned around and passed it to a guy who's like at the top of the circle. But there's two opposing players in that passing lane already. So it just got picked off and went the other way immediately. It's little plays like that that really make me not want to give him a huge deal. He's also really, really prone to, in one-on-one coverage in the defensive zone, he's really prone to taking penalties, usually a hold or a hook, that he seems to just get mentally beat, so he resorts to using his strength that he then takes a penalty on. He's really prone for that. So That's one of the things that he really needs to work on. But on that note, something that he really provides is that he is a strong and physically engaged defenseman. That he's not afraid to drop the gloves. He throws hits constantly, and
Yeah, he's a monster.
exactly. So he can be a really, really useful second pairing defenseman if he's playing with a really good two-way guy. But he's not the defensive stalwart or top pairing defenseman that's maybe you would expect out of a fifth overall pick.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's an okay deal. I think you put it a lot more eloquently than I could have, but that sums it up, I think. It's an okay deal for an okay D-man who was asking for a lot more.
This also, I might add, makes him the highest paid Oilers defenseman as of next season.
Really? How much does Klefbom make?
4.4.
He's more than Klefbom?
Yeah, no, Klefbom got signed to an amazing deal that takes him for a few more years yet.
Wow, that
Actually,
is
no, Klefbom's
surprising.
4.1.
Wow.
Yeah, so
That's absurd.
Klefbom, like he signed this incredible value deal years back. I think he must have given, like, everyone knew he was going to be pretty good as long as he stayed healthy, so he must have really wanted that term and was willing to sacrifice a lot in cap hit for that.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's pretty much it for major injuries or signings. But I did have some oh, I don't know what to call it, but this week's like top performers or at least individual efforts. I had a bit of a sore spot here, but Mark Stone had a 5-point night while we had him on our fantasy
Oh
bench.
God. Yeah, so what, he kind of had a slower few games, and I think they were playing Florida that night.
Yes.
And I was like, "Oh yeah, we'll put him on the bench and let's give like I think we picked up Yamamoto for a game or two just 'cause he had been hot." So picked up him and left Stone on the bench for the game just 'cause Stone hadn't been as productive in our league in the last few. So
Instant
yeah, you know.
fucking 3 special team points and
Instant regret.
yeah. But hell of a game for him.
For
Just
sure.
went beast mode. We talked about Elvis. He had back-to-back shutouts. One has a bit of an asterisk next to it because it was an AHL team. It was the Detroit Red Wings, and he only made 16 saves. But still, a shutout's a shutout. Back to back, pretty
The goalie
impressive.
only plays two periods. Is it a shutout?
Yeah,
16 shots.
had
Oh, man.
a little bit of a boring game, but still, I mean, Detroit just beat Boston, so it's not like they're that bad, but.
Or is
Still.
Boston really as good as we think they are?
Yeah.
Which way does it go here?
And then Mackenzie Blackwood also had back-to-back shutouts, including one that had like 46 saves or something crazy like that.
Yes, he
So very
did.
impressive for him, especially considering the defense that's in front of him.
Big time. That's a huge accomplishment
Yeah,
for a New
definitely.
Jersey Devils team. I just wanted to point out on the note of Blackwood, how much better the New Jersey Devils are with him in the lineup. So this goes back a couple of games. So the numbers were a tiny bit off here, but in games where Blackwood plays, the Devils have a 16-15-7 record. So that's an 84-point pace, which is not playoff worthy, but considering the lineup that they have and what they've been actually performing as, it's not terrible. In the games where Blackwood does not play, and this is entire like. All of the games that he has not made an appearance, I'm counting games where he comes on in relief in his own record. The Devils have a 3-9-3 record, which is a 49-point pace, which puts them in competition with Detroit.
Yeah,
So
wow.
you're looking at that's like a 35-point difference just with this one goalie on a very bad roster.
Yeah,
So
that's
I
a
think,
huge swing.
yeah, I wanted to, specifically point out that Mackenzie Blackwood is probably one of the league's better goalies at this point, and he would probably be getting a lot more recognition if he weren't playing for New Jersey.
Garbage team. Yeah, he really is.
Where's Wayne Gretzky? We need some more Mickey
Important.
Mouse organization comments.
He is just super important to that team. And then my last team or my last monster performer was the Winnipeg Jets. Put a whole team on there. They've had a they're on a 3-game win streak and they're back in a playoff spot. And the last podcast, I was kind of shitting on them, and I didn't know if they had a chance. And what do you know? They just have like a huge week where
They heard you. They heard you.
They subverted my expectations. They've just had a great week, and they're back in it. And you know, it's kind of like, I think they could be a real dark horse for the cup, just on the mentality of, you know, all the adversity that they've struggled.
Oh, totally.
With
if they
this
get into
season.
The playoffs on like every game is important note when they've got the momentum swing. No, they're the underdogs. No one's going to expect anything of them. So why not have them be this team that's just going to like pesky sends their way through the playoffs and make noise.
I think that they're my dark horse pick now, just based on how their season's gone. They're kind of on paper, they shouldn't be where they are based on their defense. They've had some players step up, and I think if they can get Dustin Byfuglien's cap space back and they get a few key pieces at the deadline, I think they're going to be a real force to be reckoned with in the Central.
Mm-hmm. I think Patrick Laine just 360 no scoped you.
Yeah, all power, all in the power play too. Yeah, so I think they've just had a huge week, and it's kind of cool to see. And I was talking to somebody about this at work, that it'd be really funny if the Jets made playoffs and Toronto didn't.
That would be amazing.
Just on, you know, the expectations for the season and how good the team is, and on paper, it'd be unreal.
Yeah, no, totally. That'd be a great story, to be honest, to have all of this turmoil on your defense to the point where you have like one or two guys who had played in the NHL in the last season, one returning defenseman or something, to make the playoffs off of that. So you mentioned that they might be big players at the deadline if they can get Byfuglien's cap hit off the books. Who do you think are some main targets? Who do you think they're going to want to look for?
I think Sami Vatanen would be a huge addition to that team. I know Pionk has been playing on their power play. I think Pionk's a right-handed D-man, but Vatanen's got a bomb. I think he would be a huge upgrade on the power play for them. Mm-hmm. I think people have been kind of toying around with the name Rasmus Ristolainen. You know, at the beginning of the season, or in the off season, there's kind of rumors that he wanted to get out of there. I think he might have actually requested a trade, but then
I think he quietly kind of did. Yeah.
When what's his name? The coach,
Ralph Kruger.
When he came in, he was so impressed by him that he wanted to stay. But I think just the way that their season is going, if he wants out, I wouldn't blame him.
No,
not at all. I think maybe GM Jack Eichel might do that for him, and I think Alec Martinez might be.
I just wanted to throw Alec Martinez's name in there. He's still got one more year left on his contract after this one, so that's going to be a nice bonus if they can manage to land him. But Martinez, he's already scored a cup-winning goal, actually.
Oh. Yeah.
I think he's a really solid defensive defenseman, and that he's someone that can really help. He's got that physical presence that'll help solidify a playoff team playing playoff hockey, as well as significant experience in the playoffs with Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So for a team like Winnipeg, they've been able to get deep one year, but they haven't been able to really make the push. They kind of got beat out that one year by Vegas, but having Martinez on their team would be a huge boost their veteran core, veteran leadership there.
Yeah, I think that would be a good move for them too. And, you know, if Buff's contract comes off the books, they're going to have a lot of money to play with because of the way the contract works throughout the season. You know, that contract's more valuable later in the year because there's only so many games left. So if they get that off the books, that's going to be huge for them. They could get a couple huge pieces to the team.
For sure.
I don't think they'd want to fuck with it too much because they might lose what makes them so great. But if they can be smart about it and get people to come in and don't change the team mentality and just slot in, I think they can really make an improvement on the team and come in and it's a big surprise. Kind of.
Yeah, you make a good point about like their roster on paper is the most impressive, but it's doing really well on the ice. And that's something like you don't want to toy with too much. So I think that's a good point that they probably don't want to make too many moves or bring in too much of a different type of player. And they're going to need to be careful to find someone that'll actually fit in with a coach's system.
Yeah, and they've been making some deep runs too in playoffs. They've got some experience with the guys who are already there. They can get some more guys who can make a huge impact. I think that'd be a wise move. They've still got players like Mark Scheifele and Mark Wheeler. Mark, my name is
Yeah,
Blake
Mark
Wheeler.
Wheeler. Yeah.
And they've got Line A, they've got Cal Connor. You know, they've got a lot of good forwards. So I think if they can improve that D line, they'd be in a good spot. Did you have any other outstanding performances of the week that you wanted to mention?
How about Alex Ovechkin's week, or
Ooh.
2 weeks, I guess we should say.
Yeah.
This one, I'm surprised you didn't have him on your list. But I mean, the last couple of weeks for Ovechkin, what he had, like 15 goals in 10 games or something,
Seven. I
seven
think he had,
games,
no, he had 14 goals in seven games.
something like that. Yeah, to the
15
point that
points.
he had outscored, he had more goals than anyone else had points over that same span of games,
Yeah, I think
which
it was
is
like,
absolutely impressive.
it's like a 2 week period. He had more points than anybody else. He had more goals than anybody else in the league, except for Kucherov. Had points.
So
I fucked that up, but you get the idea. You get a lot of
the
points,
point has been
okay?
made.
Yeah,
Yeah, so I mean that's one of the hottest stretches, one of if not the hottest stretch of his career. And he's doing it now, and it's basically put him back right in with the Rocket Richard that he's up there with Pastrnak and Matthews at this point. They're duking it out for the Rocket Richard trophy again.
you
And I mean he's cooled off now. He hasn't had a goal in two games, I think.
can very
But
easily have a hat trick at any time.
exactly. I mean, he went and had a hat trick in 6 minutes against LA a few games back. So,
Yeah, he was held without a shot for the first like 54 minutes of that game, and then he had a hat trick.
yeah.
It's just, you never know. Yeah,
So yeah, don't want to forget that performance, because for him to be doing that, especially as he's now sitting at 698 goals, I'm kind of sitting here waiting. I'm watching every game at this point. I just want to see him hit 700.
it's exciting, the chase to 700 and beyond. He'll get
Did you
there.
see the NBC channel today was supposed to be showing Tampa Bay and Columbus, their first rematch since last year's
Yeah,
playoffs, but they
got bumped.
switched within the last couple of days to show the Caps game instead
Yep.
in the quest for 700. And there were some fans that were pretty peeved off about that.
Yeah, it was the game between Columbus and the Lightning since the sweep. Kind of upsetting, but I get it because Ovechkin probably brings in more people.
Well, it's also like the historic quest for it. Like,
Yeah, it's a huge moment.
it's kind of one of those ones that you want to be seen. Like people around the league want to see, because it's not, Columbus and Tampa play 4 or 5 times a season, or 3 or 4 times a season. Ovechkin hits 700 goals once. You want that in on as many TVs as possible.
Yeah, like if he had got two goals tonight and hit 700 and they didn't have it on, people would be upset.
Yes.
I think they'd be
And
more upset than just missing a normal season game against or between Columbus and Tampa.
which, like, let's be like, they're a TV station. They need to make their viewership as widespread as possible. So Tampa Columbus isn't exactly the game to do that outside of the
Yeah.
Tampa and Columbus fan bases, which, by the way, they did still show the game in those teams' viewing regions. I don't know how like big they are geographically, but where a lot of the fans are going to be still got to watch the game.
So, I mean, that's fair, I think. Speaking of Tampa, just real quick here. Tampa is in their last 21 games, 18-2-1.
There's the Tampa we all knew.
Yeah, they were hiding, but they've been there all along. So, yeah, they have kind of snuck into, I think they're third now in the conference in the East.
Yes,
So
they
they've
are
been.
2 points behind Washington at this point.
Yeah, so they've won six straight. They're
Man.
they've came up of the bottom and now they're here. It was a slow start for them, but they always had games in hand and now they're at the top.
Exactly,
So
yeah. And this is exactly what we kind of expected. I
yeah.
was more surprised that they were spending as long as they did down at the bottom of the standings, actually. because that lasted a solid 15, 20 games, I think, that they were struggling big time like that, and it took a while before they started to put it back together.
Yeah, I think Vasilevskiy has really returned to form lately. He's been huge for them, and he didn't suck, but he wasn't his normal self at the beginning of the season. So having him return back to being a beast is pretty big for them.
Big time.
Yeah, and we should mention now that there is a bit of an Olympic update.
This is an
So,
important one. This is something that we've talked about quite a few times on here, because
yes.
both of us want to see this happening again. So you go ahead with the Olympic update.
So it was the IIHF came out and said that they would be supportive of what was it, covering the insurance? I don't have it written down here.
Yeah, it
You
was
might have to
covering
help me out here.
insurance and travel costs.
Right.
And the ability for the NHL to promote on their own platforms. So
Right, so
the
the
NHL
major
can
points.
use exactly, yeah, the NHL can use like Olympic videos or signage or logos or whatever on their own platforms.
Yeah, so huge. I think that's a huge step in the right direction. It's a major concession. I think it's to the benefit of both parties to have it happen because, for the Olympics, it's going to be such a huge draw. They must have seen a huge drop off in viewership the last Olympics. I know I didn't watch very many games because it was just the
No.
Olympic athletes from Russia show. And
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I watched a single game. I kept up with like the standings and like who won and stuff, but I didn't pay attention to anything.
yeah, me neither. It was,
I watched the women's hockey though.
yeah, me too. The men's was just a lot of former NHLers on Team Canada that play in the
Team Canada was like
KHL.
a handful of Oilers who couldn't make any other team in the league.
Yeah, it really was the Edmonton Oilers
I want
alumni
to say
show.
cast-offs, but rude. That's rude.
A little bit. But yeah, so I mean, it'll be huge if they can make it happen because everybody wants to see Crosby and McDavid and McKinnon
Oh man,
all
can you
together.
imagine them just rolling that out as a line for a shift just for the hell of it?
Holy shit! Maybe that's why they're holding off because they just know Canada would just destroy.
Oh man. Okay, so here's my big point that why it's going to be so good for the league is that the NHL is so keen lately on boosting their international presence. They're doing all these games in Europe and these games in China. They want to get these areas to follow the NHL, similar to how the NBA's taken off in China. And for them to not allow the best players in the world, their players, the NHL players, to participate in the international tournament that's going to put them on the soil of the markets that they want to promote in is a huge loss for what they're trying to do on a platform. Because the Olympics may not be as big of a thing in North America because we have so many other professional sports leagues. But in other areas in the world, like in Europe and Africa, the Olympics are huge. This is kind of like the premier sporting event for a lot of places around the world. So a lot of people follow it way more than they ever would here. So, like, the NHL is missing out on a huge thing, a huge marketing opportunity by not having their players there, the best in the world.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
the IOC is also missing out on having the best players in the world participate in their tournament, and it really cuts down on their promotability and their viewership.
Yeah, I wonder if the NHL is wanting like during the games if say like you have like I'm just picturing like Connor McDavid on the bench in like a Team Canada jersey. If they want like a close up of McDavid and it says like this is McDavid, he plays on like the Edmonton Oilers in the NHL, something like that. So people like know where to like they can follow them or something like that. Like I wonder if that's something that the NHL would want to associate their brand with this player,
That
this
could
on
be.
ice performance. So that, people are like, oh, where can I see more of this? Oh, the NHL, what's that? Oh,
I feel like that particular thing might be a bit of a touchy subject for the Olympics because they seem to have their own official, like,
Their
I would say,
own
like,
like
imagery or interfaces,
graphics and
basically.
stuff like that.
Yeah. But that would be a great way to roll with that, where it's like, hey, this, or have like little segments on players. Like, obviously, like, they're gonna have to work on it on the international broadcasts because, like, you don't need to tell like Canadian hockey fans who Connor McDavid is.
Yeah, who is this
But
McDavid guy?
yeah, who's this David McConnor fellow? But that could be a great way for the league on international broadcasts to promote, you know, their own product.
For sure. Yeah, I'm pumped that there's some good news, because it's been a
I'm
lot of bad
excited.
news lately for that, and it's cool to finally have like light at the end of the tunnel. That's pretty much everything that I had, Sean. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to go over.
I think that about wraps things up for this week here on ClapperCast. So to help spread the word of ClapperCast, make sure to share us around with your family and friends. If you want to keep up to date with any content we put out or just our general thoughts and updates throughout the week, make sure you follow us on Instagram or Facebook at ClapperCast Media or on Twitter at ClapperCast. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week for more hockey coverage.